Mr. Lazenby, reel 8.
Which usually happened?
Oh, we usually had savings. It was a bad caterer who couldn't keep below the level of the allowances.
Right, let's talk about the catering. How were the menus for the daily meals actually arranged?
Hit and miss, really. But on a good mess, the leading seaman of the mess would take full responsibility for catering, and he would make the menu out and see that the cooks of the mess stuck to it. He would be the only one who would have access to the chip books, for instance, and he would say, right, so many eggs, so many rashers of bacon, so many tins of tomatoes, and that sort of thing. And then he'd give it to the cooks and say, now we're having bacon and egg for breakfast, and we're having so-and-so for dinner, and we're having so-and-so for tea. But in some messes, of course, it was left to the individual cooks. And as they only did 24 hours as a cook for a week or so, they would make it as easy as possible and to get stuff that wanted practically little or no preparation, no pastry to make or anything like that.
What circumstances decided whether the arrangements for meals were organised by the leading hand or by the cooks of the day?
The mess themselves, but usually the leading hand himself. You see, some of the leading hands had no idea of catering, and they say, oh, well, leave it to the cooks of the mess.
I see.
Sometimes, you see, a leading hand would take over the catering and it wouldn't be very satisfactory at it. And so the mess would say, well, look, can we have the cooks doing it ourselves? And they would take over. It was a mutual agreement between them, nothing fixed about it.
And if that did happen, was the sort of accepted principle that the leading hand would agree to the mess's request?
Oh, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. The cooks of the mess, how were their duties organised and what did they do?
They were responsible for the cleaning of the mess. They were organised, first of all, as you say, they were organised. Two men from each mess, two hands from each mess, took over as cooks of the mess for 24 hours. They usually took over after dinner. They washed up after dinner and they carried on until they provided the dinner the next day. They were responsible for drawing the rations, for preparing the meals, taking them and getting them away from the galley, and dishing them out, washing up, keeping the mess clean, scrubbing it out. That's 24 hours of it.
Yeah, good. Now, how exactly was the food obtained and prepared?
The standard rations were issued every day. Every morning, the meat would be drawn, and you'd go to the beef screen for the meat, and it depended on the butcher what sort of meat you got. You might get chin, or you might get a good bit of steak. You might get thick rib or nice bit to roast, or you might get to anything. You never knew what you were going to get. And so you couldn't determine what you were going to have for dinner until you saw what piece of meat you got. Of course, if it was shin of beef, you'd cut it up, but the only thing you could do with that is make a what we called a pot mess of it. It was a big stew of it. Give it plenty of boiling and put plenty of stuff in it, like carrots and onions and Edward's desiccated soups we used to get, all sorts. But if it was a good piece of meat, you'd make what we called a schooner on the rocks. And that was the roast beef with roast potatoes around it in the dish. A dish held enough for 16. And that would be baked, and that was usually good because you could carve the meat and roast potatoes.
Were there other kinds of less good cuts which you could only cook in particular ways?
Yes, there were others we used to use perhaps for a meat pie. We'd make a pie of it, you know, with an awning over the top. That's a cover on the top. And the pies and the puddings would be sent up. Now, sometimes, you see, you wanted a meat pie that was not baked, but you wanted a steamed pie. And so if you wanted it steamed, when you sent it to the galley, put a raw potato on the top. If you didn't put a raw potato on the top, it would get baked and go in the oven. Everything else with the potato on the top would be steamed.
Were there any other ways like that of letting the galley know exactly how you wanted the mess's food prepared?
No.
Right.
If it had a potato on, it was boiled or steamed. But of course, the potatoes that you wanted steaming, they were sent up in a net, and peas in a net, and that sort of thing.
These main dishes that you've mentioned so far, were there any other main dishes apart from those which were common?
Well, no, I don't think so. Mostly we cooked the meat and the potatoes in any particular way we wanted, but any sweet we wanted, we'd probably have custard and tinned fruit, or fresh fruit if it was available. Usually had a pudding or sweet, sometimes a roly-poly pudding, sometimes a baked pudding in the dish, you know, they cut up like a cake and put custard on it. Lots of things like that.
How would you mark the food that you sent up to the galley so that the cooks would know which mess it was for?
Oh, on a pea net or a potato net, you had a piece of wood with a number of your mess carved on it. In Roman figures, you see, number 7 would be a V and 2 1s and that sort of thing, so you couldn't mix them up. And the dishes, of course, would all be marked like that, with a tally tied on, a wooden tally tied on to the handle of the dish.
You've mentioned a so-far-only dinner. Starting at the beginning of the day, could you tell me what other food you had when?
We started off 5:45 was Rivali, and the piped Rivali, lash up and stow. 5 minutes later, hands to cocoa and wash. And the cook used to go to the galley with a kettle, which was a big polished tin thing, and fill it up with cocoa, and you'd come and you'd have your cocoa. That was the first thing, hands to cocoa and wash. 7 o'clock was breakfast. Now, you provided your own breakfast, obviously, and it was usually something from the canteen, which was egg and bacon. Another favourite was bacon and tomatoes, but they were tinned tomatoes, and when you sent them to the galley, you used to have streaky bacon, you know, always bought the cheapest. And the way that was cooked was that the tomatoes were emptied into the tin, the bacon put on the top, and the whole thing shoved in the oven, and so it came out like soggy mess. We used to call it train smash or metal ribbons and blood, you see, because the streaky stuff was like metal ribbons. The whole thing looked like a train smash. Or you'd have sausages and eggs, sausages and mash. Sometimes you had porridge, all sorts of things, anything you could buy. Tea, of course, we didn't go in for much tea. We never had cakes. We had plenty of bread, plenty of butter, plenty of jam, and that's about all we had for tea. Supper was not provided, but if anybody wanted supper, they could buy their own, and the galley was left open, although the cooks were not in attendance. The galley was left open and the fire on, and you could go and fry your own bacon or make yourself a little bit of Welsh rabbit with egg and cheese, you know, that sort of thing. But normally it wasn't provided.
For the main meals, that's breakfast and dinner, I imagine, were there any special preparations made in the mess before the meal so that it could take place?
Oh, yes, all the pastry was made in the mess. If you wanted any...
I'm not thinking of preparation of the food. I'm thinking more of organisation, physical organisation of the mess.
No, the mess was already there. All the cutlery was already there. When you went down to a meal, you just sat down and the cooks of the mess brought you dinner and they dished it out on your plates.
And the tables and the chairs were permanently fixed there in the mess?
Oh, yes, they more or less permanently. The mess deck was just one big open space with a series of tables with a stool on each side of each table. The tables and stools were hinged on the outboard end. A piece of angle iron ran right along the outside of the ship, or inside, of course, you know what I mean, on the ship side, with holes in the 2 hooks from each stool hooked in, and 2 hooks from each table hooked in a higher one, and then the other end, the free end, was on a Crawford, we used to call it. It was on hooks, 2 hooks, and a great big iron contraption, like a framework, with 2 steps on it, so that you could put your table on the lower one, and it was horizontal, and you could lift it up and put the Crawford on higher up, so you could get underneath to scrub the floor. Or if you cleared decks for action for anything, your tables and stools went right up onto the deckhead and left the floor clean. But normally, they were there all the time. Mm-hmm. You did everything in the mess.
So you didn't hoist them up and down?
Only to scrub.
I see. Fine. Yes.
Switched off.
Tell me with it on.
Oh, no, this was nothing to do. The only thing this had to do with the mess,
yes,
were these stools being detachable. And one ended, they had legs at one end and nothing at the other, just two hooks. Now, when we went to church on a Sunday morning, we had to rig the church on the quarter deck. And this was a terrific business. We had no pews or anything like that. But we always had to take our mess stools up. But obviously, these mess stools only had legs on the outside end. And so you had to have something to rest the other end on. And they used to use capstan bars and buckets. The buckets were all wooden. And the capstan bars were great long things that you used to put in the holes in the capstan and go around with them, you know. And these were all stowed down forward and all scrubbed white. And so when you rigged church on the quarterdeck, that's what you had to do. Take all your mess stools up. You put a series of buckets with capstan bars stretched between them, and the end of the stool that had no legs on it was resting on the capstan bars. So we used to sing that old hymn, you know, the church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ our Lord. We used to sing, the church is one foundation, is capstan bars and buckets.
Yes. Now, I know you had a canteen committee aboard both these ships, the Emperor and the Benbow.
Mm.
How were the canteen committees organised? Who served on them?
They were chosen almost like a little election. You asked for volunteers to serve on a canteen committee. And usually it was one from each branch of the service. You know, there'd be a stoker and a seaman and a petty officer. Somebody to represent every branch. And usually one of the paymaster branch officer would be the secretary of the committee. They would decide what would be done with the money that was in the canteen funds, how it would be spent.
Oh, so the canteen manager didn't keep all of the money he made?
No. A certain percentage of all the profits he made went to the canteen fund. And that was augmented by other things. The winnings from tombola, or the profits from tombola sessions went to the canteen funds. And all these funds were used for providing sports equipment and sports clothing, like football shirts and shorts and shoes and footballs and hockey sticks and stuff for the recreation room. Anything you could think of.
Apart from the administration of the profits from these various sources, did the canteen committees have any other jobs?
No, that's all the job they had, was to look after the canteen funds and allocate them. I think they had something to do with the canteen manager, the appointing of the canteen manager and that sort of thing.
Oh, that was done through the committee?
Mm. Yes, he would apply to the ship, you see, in the first place to serve as a canteen manager. Mm. Maltese we had, you see, and he would be chosen, I think, by the canteen committee. They would decide eventually.
Did they provide a channel through which you could register complaints about either the canteen or the official rations?
Oh, yes. Yes, you could always always complain about food like that. You had a divisional officer in each division, and you could always go to him with any complaints about the canteen.
And how effective, in your experience, were these committees in sort of representing the views?
Well, they're very good. Oh, yes, they were very good. Mm. I think they served a very useful purpose.
Mm. I remarked yesterday how learning the details of the canteen messing systems, you know, my personal reaction was that it seemed absolutely criminal, that, you know, you should have to actually buy your own food. And you seem to take it in as a matter of course.
Well, I suppose we did. It's a natural thing. In those times, you see, we couldn't store a lot of stuff. We hadn't the refrigerated compartments that they have nowadays. The paymaster couldn't keep a lot of stuff. Potatoes used to go rotten on him. And it used to grow, even in the potato locker. Meat had to be got very frequently, or you went on to corned beef. See?
Yeah, I was going to ask you whether you ran short of rations at all. And if so, what sort of special contingencies there were for emergency situations?
Yes, when you run short of fresh beef, you went on to corned beef. And when you ran short of potatoes, you went on to rice. Bread never seemed to be a problem, but if you did run short of bread, you went on to biscuits, the ship's biscuits.
Were these called iron rations?
No, I don't think that name was invented then. I think that.